change came, unannounced and unexpected. Everything changed for Martha Watson on New Year's Eve. As Martha prepared for bed, a song played in her head. She half remembered the simple lyrics from her childhood. Fragments of the tune persisted as she walked into the bathroom. You are my sunshine, my only sunshine. Standing in her nightgown, she examined herself in the bathroom mirror and sighed. A quiet, barely audible sound summed up the resignation and fatigue weighing on her shoulders. She was relieved that the holidays were coming to a close. Next to the bolted front door, a forlorn Christmas tree leaned against the wall. The collapsing tree had clearly outworn its welcome. Tomorrow, she would get rid of this sorry reminder and take down the string of Christmas lights. While Martha was at it, she would clean house. She looked forward to throwing away the holiday card standing upright on the scratched surface of a secondhand coffee table in the living room. The song in Martha's head played on. She quietly hummed the melody to herself. Slowly, the song's details came back to her. You make me happy when skies are gray. A television set waged war against the radio broadcasting music to the empty kitchen. The wall of sound drowned out her worries. Take your pick was the implicit invitation of sparring images and sound ricocheting throughout her rent-controlled apartment. The remains of a wilted salad drowned in a red wine vinaigrette sat unattended on the kitchen table set for one. Martha knew that the table had room for more, but she never let anyone into the sanctuary of her apartment. In fact, she rarely left her apartment except to buy groceries at the corner bodega. And she always wore a mask. You could never be too careful. The virus was everywhere. Outside, dusk had long ago chased away the final traces of an otherwise uneventful day. And night arrived sooner than expected. Once again, the song in Martha's head reasserted itself, gradually increasing in volume. You'll never know, dear, how much I love you. Please don't take my sunshine. From her seventh floor apartment, Martha tried in vain to block out the faint roar of New Year's Eve revelers gathering in force on the streets down below. Amidst the racket, cabs sped across wet asphalt, evading pockets of black ice and dirty snow. Martha ignored the riotous call and response of car horns and shouting passersby. She wondered if they wore masks. Probably not, she thought, from the safety of her home. It was just as well. Staring at her reflection, Martha brushed her teeth and made sure to floss. Her impacted wisdom teeth would eventually have to be dealt with. Perhaps she could make a dental appointment once her next direct deposit hit her account. Of course, that depended on if there was anything left after she paid her rent and expenses. The never-ending flow of bills always managed to drain most of her income every month without exception. Finally, the song, locked on repeat in her mind, dialed down to a whisper. Her thoughts drifted from aching wisdom teeth to an inventory of the days ahead. She spit out the toothpaste, gargled, and switched off the light. Her bare feet padded across the cold tiles, leading to her dark bedroom. A small portable heater sat at the foot of her bed. Martha crawled beneath the sheets and propped a pillow behind her back. Nearby, the invite to the office party sat unopened next to her cell phone, charging on a nightstand. Martha thought perhaps she should have gone to the office party on Zoom. The thought passed as she sank deeper into her mattress. Everyone from work probably showed up, including her everything-by-the-book supervisor, Judy. And that was precisely the reason she never opened the invite. Nor did she open any of the other office party invitations and email invites from the previous 4 years. 5 days a week, Martha worked her fingers to the bone, worrying about the telltale signs of carpal tunnel syndrome, slowly making themselves known from typing 140 words a minute and 160 words on a good day. Judy lorded over Martha without mercy, deciding her fate with absolute power 40 hours a week. Martha knew that being passed over for the promotion was ultimately Judy's decision. There was no pleasing that woman. Then the pandemic's invisible wave of contagion hit the city with the gale force winds of a tsunami, a sucker punch of disease and death. Now Martha worked from home. She was one of the many prisoners of Zoom-induced limbo. At times, the quarantine felt like a form of house arrest in purgatory. Of course, her mother said she was exaggerating. Day in and day out, Martha did her best to dodge backstabbing maneuvers of her more ambitious coworkers on video conference calls. She aspired to rise above the fray in her efforts to navigate the toxic minefields of office politics. Her 9-to-5 job was a means to put money in her purse and food on the table. Her office job kept the lights on and a roof over her head. In a better world, Martha imagined that there must be better job opportunities out there, even amidst a pandemic. She knew that she must hold on to her job no matter what. Nobody cared if her talents were better suited elsewhere. Martha lived in the here and now, and there was no escaping the daily ration of bullshit and petty indignities when the news warned of rising waves of unemployment. Why would Martha want to spend the last hours of the departing year and see the arrival of the new one with people whom she barely tolerated when she was on the clock? So what if it was a virtual gathering? She was in front of her battered laptop computer enough already. The digital clock on her nightstand read 11:35 p.m. The countdown to the new year would be spent curled up in her bed with a book to keep her company. Martha picked up the dog-eared paperback novel she had started reading. The book was exactly where she had left it last night and the evening before that. She flipped on a small lamp and opened her book. At last, she would find out why Melville had Ishmael and that cryptic Indian harpooner, Queequeg, sharing a room in the dead of night. Talk about a creepy roommate. She smiled at the thought of enjoying a book chronicling mad Captain Ahab and his obsessive quest to hunt the mythic white whale, that her younger self would have simply jumped to the ending before speed reading the cliff notes with a highlighter in hand. She regretted not reading more as a teenager. Through her bedroom wall, Martha heard her neighbor's apartment door open and bang against a wall before it was slammed shut. Martha had never met the woman living next door. She didn't know any of her neighbors. Keeping to herself with her head down, she took pride in minding her own business. Martha appreciated when others did the same. Above all else, Martha valued her privacy. Even in the before times, her solitude was a much-needed oasis away from a long day's work in a busy office that she neither loved nor hated, but simply tolerated as many people do here and elsewhere. On those rare occasions, when she ventured outside of her apartment, she turned away when anyone passed her in the hallways. Peace and quiet were necessities only eclipsed by food and water and a steady supply of books to preoccupy her thoughts on her off hours. Perhaps cabin fever awaited her somewhere in the near future. For now, however, she was content to stay inside, far away from everyone. Was that too much to ask for? Martha had no illusions or false expectations about the world outside her one-bedroom apartment with its creaking pipes, the city with its resident strangers, and daily acts of aggression. Was a hostile place to be kept at a safe distance. Martha imagined the air itself crowded with new variants. Soon her number would come up for the vaccine. Patience was required to ride out the invisible storm. A man's loud and carefree laugh scraped through the wall. Martha looked up from her book. Her neighbor was not alone. And the noises from next door grew louder. Martha tried to picture her neighbor's face, only to realize that she had never laid eyes on the woman in the 2 years that she lived in the building. The noises behind the wallpaper grew more defined. A wine bottle was opened. Perhaps a New Year's party for two had commenced. Although Martha had never met her neighbor, she imagined the stranger next door was not older or younger than herself. Then Martha heard something that made her pause and look up from the book, that she was eager to find out what happened next. She heard a voice slice through the wall, separating the two apartments. Martha knew the voice better than any other voice in her 32 years of living and breathing in this finite corner of a city that had grown too crowded and expensive, too frantic with strangers boxing her in from all sides. Martha recognized her own voice coming from the next door apartment. It was not unlike an echo bouncing back like a sonic boomerang, launched from foreign vocal cords and penetrating her bedroom. The book slipped from Martha's hands and dropped to the floor. Her hands fell to the comforter covering her legs. Fingers clutched and twisted the fabric in a knee-jerk response. The comforter was a housewarming gift from her mother when she first moved to the apartment so long ago. Again, the all too familiar, yet strange, disembodied voice drifted free form and invisible, cutting through the barrier of drywall and the peeling wallpaper she meant to replace. If only there was more time to spare. Martha could not make out the words. There was no question about it. The voice belonged to her. And yet it was now somehow divorced from her body. The voice was followed by a sudden burst of laughter from the unseen woman and her companion. Then the voice grew quiet. Martha held her breath and pressed her ear to the fading wallpaper with its water stains tainting the pattern of cherry blossoms. She closed her eyes. With the whisper and cadence of each breath, she listened to the wall, waiting. The slight pressure and itch of goosebumps ran along the length of her bare arms. Perhaps it was the chill of her bedroom and the persistent drafts from the windows shaking in their frames. Maybe it was the brittle, peeling wallpaper against her face as she crouched on the bed, perfectly still. The faded printing of the wallpaper could have been a field of dead flowers, forever wilting in her cramped apartment. Martha waited for something to happen on her night watch, for phantom voices to break the paper-thin silence. The minutes crawled by in the gathering darkness. Martha heard the voice again. Her voice. This time, the almost inaudible words were addressed to the stranger whom her neighbor had invited in from the cold night. far from the maddening New Year's Eve parties and crushing crowds of downtown bars with outrageous cover charges. The unseen man's voice answered the whisper. Martha pulled away from the wall. She felt like an intruder in her own bedroom. On the other side of this barrier, separating two lives, the woman next door, her other self, had brought a strange man to her apartment on the last night of this god-awful year. And now Martha imagined they were in the bedroom next to her own, with its portable heater humming quietly at the foot of her single bed. Her cocoon-like apartment held very little warmth. Once again, Martha inched closer to the wallpaper, drawn by the promise of forbidden fruit waiting on the other side. The conscious part of her mind knew the situation was absurd. How could she possibly be in two places at the same time? She knew it was impossible. Yet, Martha was here and there all the same. Crouched on her mattress, Martha could make out the sounds of her other self tossing clothes at the mystery partner. Laughter and more laughter, sharp, cutting, and clear as breaking glass. The intermingling voices sliced through her bedroom wall and rang clearly in Martha's envious ears. Is it possible that she was hearing things? Maybe, maybe not. There was the unmistakable sound of the couple climbing onto a mattress, probably larger than her own. Bed springs squeaked, whined, and softly cried out to Martha, who sat attentive and alone as a sole witness. Perched on the side of her empty bed, she listened. So it came to be. Martha marveled at the uncanny miracle that she was indeed in two places at once. She was surprised to discover her cheeks wet with tears. Why was she crying? There was no answer that she could think of as her ears picked up the hushed frequency of everything transpiring in the apartment one wall away. She noted every sigh and laugh from the other side of the wall. They were probably only feet apart. Her carefree double had lost and found herself in the warm embrace of another. She could almost picture the couple as a writhing mass of intertwined limbs. This version of herself grew more and more uninhibited, wild and free behind the thin barrier of wallpaper and dry wall. Martha's attentive ears were rewarded with an unexpected greeting. "Hello," said the voice of her amorous twin that she never knew existed. The bizarre echo chimed from the wallpaper. Martha did not answer. Once again, she held her breath, waiting. "I know you can hear me," the voice said. "You can hear both of us." This blunt, matter-of-fact statement was followed by another laugh. Her unseen twin was laughing at her, filling the empty space between the apartments with a bridge of ridicule and glee. There was no reason to deny the truth in her double's words. The persistent voice demanded her attention without rest or pausing. It was clear that Martha's double was here to stay. Perhaps she had always been there, lying in wait, living the life that Martha was too timid and too afraid to contemplate. She would be the nosy neighbor who literally knew everything there was to know about her, since she shared the same face and body. Then the next seven simple words found their mark, slowly and surely, like a blade sinking into her heart with surgical precision. "I can hear you breathing at night." Words cutting close to the bone. The voice spoke to Martha with clarity and purpose. The tone of voice was not unlike the taunt of a schoolyard bully, haunting her childhood memories, probing for weakness and vulnerable points of access. For a second, followed by another, Martha held her breath, her eyes closed tightly, wanting, wishing the voice to go away and leave her alone in peace. "Please," said Martha, "please leave me alone." "Tough break, sweetie," said the voice, answering Martha's plea. "Wherever you go, there I'll be. Don't you get it? I need you, and you need me. We were born for each other. You and I are closer than sisters. Perhaps their secret bond stretched beyond mirroring every inch of skin. What if they were both heirs to the same aches and pains?" Martha wondered if her twin suffered from the carpal tunnel in her wrist, like she has for the past 3 years, to no avail. Was her other self equally plagued by the old injury of a childhood fall? Did her double have the same lingering phantom ache in her right knee? Martha imagined all of these self-annihilating thoughts and more. Shut away in her one-bedroom apartment, her self-imposed seclusion set her adrift in the world. Her solitude was a deliberate choice. For the first time, however, Martha gazed at her surroundings, feeling disoriented, as if she had awoken in an unfamiliar room in a foreign city without memory. Her bedroom and the rest of the apartment felt alien, unknowable. Perhaps both spaces were identical, or maybe her double had better taste to match her willingness to take chances, to take risks. When midnight arrived, Martha wiped away the tears. Once again, the voice behind the wallpaper spoke. "Happy New Year." Martha wondered if she moved with the twin follow. This absurd monologue was peppered with questions with no answers, no relief from the crushing weight that the voice on the other side of the wall belonged to her alone. Unnerved, Martha did not want to call it fear. "Give it time," she told herself. "Give it time, indeed." It was too late. The seed of Martha's insane idea had taken root. Now it was blossoming into something wild and raw to the touch. A poison thought, spiked with thorns. Martha could not wrap her tired and lonely mind around the unwieldy idea, tightening around her with growing unease. Caught in the act of eavesdropping on herself was how Martha Watson, single, yet not quite alone, greeted the new year as the fading sounds of unseen revelers ascended from the streets below. Car horns blared and jubilant voices scratched and clawed at the icy panes of her apartment windows, begging to be let in. Martha always kept the windows closed with the drapes drawn, not so much to keep the plague and the winter cold out as to seal herself inside. Glass barriers held the outside world at bay. The voice on the other side began to whistle a childhood lullaby, something you would sing or hum to a child having trouble getting to sleep. "When I awake, my poor heart pains," the voice sang, off-key and rimmed with pleasure. "So when you come back and make me happy." Martha nodded to herself as she slid beneath her sheets, pulling the comforter tight around her neck. "But if you leave me and love another," the voice crooned, "you'll regret it all someday." The voice paused, waiting. The song hovered in the awkward silence. From the other side, the bed resumed its knocking rhythm against the thin wall. Martha responded with the next line in their impromptu duet. I'll forgive you, dear. I'll take all the blame. She imagined her other self behind the wallpaper, smiling in the dark as a strange man moved above her, his body immersed in his own rhythm. The voice accompanied his movements, providing the soundtrack of a divided soul split between two bodies. You are my sunshine, my only sunshine, sang the voice from the wallpaper and beyond. You make me happy when skies are gray. Eventually, Martha closed her eyes. The song in Martha's head returned to match the soft, melodic voice singing from the wailing wall. The other night, dear, as I lay sleeping, I dreamed I held you in my arms. But when I woke, dear, I was mistaken. The song swept over her mind's eye, a cresting wave of sound that only she could hear. It drowned out everything. With time, slowly but surely, Martha slipped into the vice-like embrace of a dream within a dream. She imagined a Venus flytrap closing its tantalizing jaws over an unsuspecting insect. You'll never know, dear, how much I love you. Through the fading wallpaper, her unseen twin's blissful sighs and her lover's moans gently rocked Martha into her first fitful sleep of the brand new year. Please don't take my sunshine away.